Turn to Psalm 23, famous passage of Scripture. We're going to read it all, and then we're going to kind of dissect it just a little bit. Let's first of all all read it together. Read with me, okay? As we read it, think about what we're reading. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, thank You once again for the privilege of presenting Your Word this morning. I humbly give myself over to You. I pray that You will anoint the words, that You will give me clarity of thought, clarity of the words, that Heavenly Father, that the message will touch hearts. And then when we leave today, lives will have been changed, and we will be able to say it's been good to be in the house, Your house, today. So I just ask that You take control and bless. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Kind of a short psalm. It's an easy psalm to memorize. As a matter of fact, when I read this, I think about a time when we had a Christian school in Sacramento for underprivileged children. And there was I had a social worker come to me and ask me if we could take a little 8-year-old boy. And his mother and his father were drug addicts, and they both were in jail. And his 87-year-old grandmother was taking care of him. And since they were drug addicts, he was actually a crack baby. And if you're not familiar with what happens, is their mental capabilities are greatly hindered. And she said that they couldn't keep him in school, that he was a disruption in the class, and they could only keep him maybe 5-10 minutes, and he'd just get up and walk out and run out on the streets. And she was afraid that he was going to wind up out on the streets and either get killed or get, you know, start using drugs too. And could we take him into the school? And I had to explain to her that we were a Christian school, and that if we took him in, we did not have the facilities or the teachers to handle his particular problem, that we would give it a try for two days out of the week, that our kindergarten class only met from 8 a.m. till noon. And I said, we're going to teach him the Bible, and we're going to teach him responsibility and respect for people and authority and for government and all those things. I wanted it clear that we weren't going to compromise how we did things just because she was asking. And she said, fine, if you can take him, if you can do anything with him, that would be a blessing. And so we took him in. I approached the teacher that was handling the kindergartners, and I explained the situation. I said, do you think you can handle him? And she said, I don't know. Let's pray about it, and let's just trust the Lord. And so we prayed about it. We trusted the Lord. We took him in. He started off 2 days a week, and within a couple of weeks, he was there 5 days a week. In public school, they couldn't keep him interested for more than 10 minutes. We couldn't get him to go home. 12 o'clock would come around. Class wasn't there anymore, and he didn't want to go home. We'd have to go, no, you're going to have to go home. You're going to have to go home. When we got him, he could not read, he couldn't write, he couldn't spell, he couldn't add, he didn't know his numbers, he didn't know anything. By the end of the school year, he knew his alphabet, he could read the simple, you know, see dog, see spot run, you know, run, spot, run. He got up, and this is what was so blessing, he got up in the last presentation that we had with the parents and everything. He got up and he quoted before everybody, he's 8 years old, he quoted Psalm 23 without error. You see, I can't memorize Scripture. Well, here was a little boy that couldn't memorize hardly where he even lived. But yet, he memorized God's Word, Psalm 23, and quoted it. And that was such a blessing. That social worker was there and said, "Can he come back next year?" And I said, "Well, I won't be here, but I'm pretty sure that they will let him back next year." That's the Word of God. And that's the power of God. And so when I was preparing this, this was not the main verse that I was working on, but this is what God gave me and said, "Okay, do this and go through this." And so we're going to go through Psalm 23. We're going to kind of break it down a little bit. And there have been scholars and preachers that have done a far better job than I'm going to do. But this is kind of what God has laid on my heart. Okay, so let's just take a look at some of these verses. First of all, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." You may notice in your Bible that the word Lord, L-O-R-D, are all capital letters. Okay? And in the Hebrew, it's Jehovah. Jehovah God, the all-existing God, the creator of the universe. He says, "The Lord God is my shepherd." Now David himself, if you've read your Bible, you know that David was a shepherd himself. He was the keeper of his father's flocks. And so he knew what sheep were like. And he knew what a shepherd was like. He knew what sheep would do and the character of sheep. And he also knew what a good shepherd should be. And notice how he starts this psalm off. He says, "The Lord Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, is my shepherd." And it tells us something. It tells us that we all have a need to have a shepherd. We look at Isaiah 53:6, and he says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," referring to Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." He says we're all like sheep. And we all have a propensity to go our own way. Even those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have a propensity to go our own way. Can you say amen to that? If we didn't have a shepherd that would guide us and protect us and lead us and sometimes discipline us, we would go astray. Because it's our human nature. So all of us have gone astray. In John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus equates himself as a shepherd. And this is what he says in John, the 10th chapter, verse number 11. He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Distinguishing between a bad shepherd and a good shepherd. A bad shepherd, in other verses, tells us that they're called hirelings, and they really don't care for the flock. They're just there for a paycheck. But Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." He says, "I'm a shepherd. And I'm going to lay down my life for my sheep." In verse number 14, he says, "I'm the good shepherd again. And I know my sheep, and I am known of mine." Now, it's an interesting thing. Reading some things about sheep, when they have a good shepherd that watches for them, the shepherd knows each one of his sheep. And he knows their character. And he knows what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and what they need. Okay? On the same token, the sheep know their shepherd. And in many cases, if they've been trained properly, the sheep won't follow another shepherd. They'll follow only their shepherd. When we were studying this in our adult Sunday school class, because we're studying the Gospel of John, the life of Christ, when we were in the 10th chapter, we saw something about shepherds and sheepfolds. Sometimes they would gather and they would build an enclosure for the sheep, and there would be more than one flock of sheep in there. There would be several flocks of sheep in there. In other words, several shepherds would come and they would bring their sheep into the same fold. And what we learned is that even when those sheep are all together with all the different ones, they would always follow their shepherd. When another shepherd would come and try to take the flocks, They wouldn't follow him. They would only follow their shepherd. And that tells us something too. That tells me that I need my shepherd. And if I'm really belonging to the Lord, then he knows me. And he knows me better than I know myself. He knows my thoughts. He knows my desires. He knows my weaknesses. He knows what I need. He knows what kind of discipline I need. He knows all those things. Matter of fact, in the book of Psalm, it tells us, in Psalm 139, he says that the Lord knows my downsittings and my uprising. He knows my thoughts afar off. He knows what I'm going to say. He knows what you're thinking right now if you belong to him. And if you really belong to him, you know him. That's what he's saying. Verse number 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they, say it with me, follow me. If you're here today and claiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and you're not following him, maybe it's because you're not one of his sheep. Maybe you're a goat. Okay? Always, butting in, causing problems, causing distractions. Maybe you're not one of his sheep. You need to know him. Matter of fact, the verse that we have in Philippians, it says that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. Okay? We need to know the Lord. We don't need to know about the Lord. We can all find out all sorts of things about the Lord. And knowing about the Lord isn't the same thing as knowing the Lord. There's a difference. Okay? He says, my sheep, I know them and they know me and they follow me. Let me ask you a question today. Are you his sheep? And if you are you following him? Or are you doing your own thing? Well, I'll go to church every once in a while. I'll do a few things. Every once in a while, I'll pick my Bible up. Every once in a while, I'll say a little quick little prayer over my tacos or my spaghetti or my pizza. But I'm not really following the Lord. I'm not really listening to him. I'm not letting him guide me day in and day out. I'm not allowing his word to saturate me so that I can walk with him and have that fellowship. You need to re-examine your fellowship with the Lord. He says, I am the good shepherd. He says, and as he's talking to them, there's other people around him. In verse number 26, he says, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, if I said unto you. Sometimes we have people that say that they're Christians, but yet they don't do what God tells them to do. They don't listen to what Jesus says because they're not really his. We need to find out who we really belong to. I'm not my own anymore. I belong to the Lord. He is my shepherd. Notice the second part of that though. It says, I shall not want. I shall not be in want. I shall not be in want. Philippians 4:19 says this, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Oftentimes when we read that, we think, well, he's going to give me everything that I want. But he gives us everything that we need. When the word here, when it says, I shall not want, it's not talking about all of our desires. It's talking about, I will not be in want. The things that I need, God will supply to me. And there's some, and again, sometimes we think that the things that we need, we need more money, we need a bigger car, we need a bigger house, we need more of this, more of that, more of this. And a lot of times, we don't need those things. What we need is we need a closer fellowship with our Lord and Savior. That's what we need. We need Him to be in control of our lives. We need to step off the throne and put Him back on the throne. That's what we need. We need to humble ourselves before our Savior, our God and our Savior. That's what we need. It's interesting. Here was the thought on this. If the Lord is my shepherd, my feeder, my deliverer, my protector, I may conclude I shall not be in want of anything that is really necessary and good for me. I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not anything I desire, I may conclude it is neither fit for me nor good for me, or I shall have it in due time. What a thought. Okay? If He's truly my Savior, and if He's truly my shepherd, because the shepherd takes care of his sheep. Okay? If He's truly my shepherd and I'm following Him, like God says I'm supposed to follow Him, then I will have all that I need. We sing that song, He's all I need. He's all I need. All I need. How true that is. He's all that we need. We don't need the new things. We don't need the big things. We don't need to expand. We don't need a new government. We don't need a new president. We don't need new legislatures. We need to have close fellowship with our God. That's what we need. We need to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but redeeming the times because the days are evil. We need to surrender to the Lord. We need to have clarity of thought and clarity of heart. We need God's power in our lives to say no to sin. We need God's power in our lives to say yes to righteousness. We need God's power in our lives to be the servants that He expects us to be. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And if I don't have the things that I desire, then maybe I just don't need them. Maybe they're not good for me. Or just maybe He's not ready to give them to me yet, because I'm not ready for them yet. Notice the next verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's underline the word maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Okay? That means that He takes control of my life, and it's still the same thought that He gives me what I need. I need the green pastures. The green pastures are the good food. The good food is right here. This is what I need. This is what you need. Right here. He says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It talks about a little bit of a rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Still waters are where the sheep can drink, and they're deep. They're deep, deep, deep. You know, so often we're just content with, you know, the surface of Christianity. Just the surface. Okay? When God wants us to go deep. Notice what Matthew says concerning this. He says, Jesus, Matthew 11:28 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is an idea of rest. And when we're trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and when we're looking to Him as our shepherd, there is rest because He makes us have the rest. He leads us to those pastures. He leads us to that still water. John 4:13, Jesus said this when He's talking to the woman at the well. You remember the story why He's in He said, "I need to go through Samaria." He needed to go there because there was a woman that needed to be saved, and there were people that needed to be saved. Jews didn't want to have anything to do with the Samaritans. They had, you know, they had that problem with racial things, you know. And if it was a Samaritan, they wouldn't have anything to do with a Samaritan. They didn't even want to go through Samaria. They go around, they go across the Jordan, go to the other side, go up around the area of Samaria and cross back over again to go on up. They wouldn't have anything with it. He's got His disciples and He says, "I need to go through Samaria." And they got to a town of Samaria, and He sat down at a well and had the disciples to go on down to McDonald's or Jack in a Box or whatever they were going to go to get food. And He's sitting there, and there was a woman that came. And it was, and we know from the conversation that she was a woman that was a prostitute, a harlot. And He came and He asked her for a drink of water. And she was stunned. She said, "Why, you being a Jew asks me, being a Samaritan and a woman at that, okay, for a drink of water. And he says this. He said, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water that would last forever. And he said this in verse number 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So, my shepherd leads me to that water. And that's the water that I drink. That's the water I drink. And even in the book of the Revelation, the very last book, the last chapter, the last thing that says, it says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that is athirst say, or he that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So not only does our shepherd give us what we need, he makes us go and rest in the pastures that are green, to the water that lasts forever. Have you partaken of that water? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? You'll be filled. You'll be given that water that lasts forever. It goes on down. He says, he restoreth my soul. Okay? This talks of spiritual restoration. When the soul becomes sorrowful, he relieves it. When our spirit becomes weak, he regenerates it. When we've been depleted and we wander away every time because we're his sheep, he brings us back. He says, he restores my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. God doesn't lead us into unrighteousness. He always leads us into righteousness if we'll simply follow Him. If you're struggling today in your life on doing the right thing, and it's always right to do right, and it's always wrong to do wrong, and it's never right to do wrong, get a chance to do right. If any of you have gone to Bob Jones, I didn't go there, but I had a lot of teachers that did, and they always gave me that one. Came from Bob Jones Sr. Okay? But you're struggling. God never leads us in unrighteousness. So if it's something that's unrighteous and it's not holy and it doesn't glorify God, then He's not the one that's leading us to that. He always leads us into righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. He wants to be glorified, it says. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Matthew 7:14 says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, God wants us to walk a straight path. He wants us to walk a righteous path, and He always leads that way. Always leads that way. If you're tempted to do evil, that's not coming from God. That's coming from Satan. And you need to resist it. Listen to the shepherd. See, that's our problem. We don't listen to the shepherd. We listen to the old goats that want to separate us. We listen to the thieves and the robbers that want us taken away from us. We need to listen to our shepherd because he will guide us into righteousness for his name's sake. Verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The idea here is that many times as the shepherd is guiding his sheep, they'll have to go through areas that may be in a little culvert or in a little valley where there's rocks and there's hidden places on the side, places for danger, places where they could be killed. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Death is something that comes to us. Okay? That's something that we need to think about, and we really don't think about it. But death is a real thing. And it's the one thing that everyone in this room has in common. Now, we may come from different backgrounds. We may have different talents. We may have been saved different ways. You may be here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. But one thing that you and I have in common is death. We don't like to think about it because it seems to be so permanent. When Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, was sick, and they sent message to Jesus saying, hey, your friend who you love is sick. Jesus didn't go immediately to heal him. And he told his disciples, we're not going right now because this sickness isn't unto death. It's for the glory of God. And yet, Lazarus died. And it was 4 days before Jesus got there. And when he got there, they came and both Mary and Martha kind of chided him a little bit. He said, if only you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And many people thought, yeah, if he only been there, Jesus could have stopped him from dying. And Jesus' response was, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This physical body someday will cease to exist. It will die. But in Christ, we live forever. It's something that we all must face. In Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse number 16, it says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou must freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Created man in his own image, breathed into him the breath of life. He became a living soul. He walked with God and talked with God. He had the perfect mate. A perfect life. Perfect government, because there wasn't any. Didn't have to worry about the utility bills because there wasn't any. There wasn't any problem with it. I don't know about being put in a garden, though. I have a problem with the garden. But that's all he had to do. Just pick the fruit. There was only one restriction placed upon man. Only one. Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says you don't need to know about it. When you do, if you do, you will die. That tells me something, and I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to go on a rabbit trail because we got to get out of here real soon. We'll go eat some chili. But there's some things that we don't need to know. Okay? There's some things we don't need to know. God didn't want us to know. He didn't want Adam and Eve to know about good and evil. Because all they knew at this time was good. It was all good. Read your Bible, Genesis. First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. All good. And the last one was very good. That's all they knew. And yet, they listened to Satan. Eve listened to Satan, took of the fruit, she ate it, gave it to her husband, he ate it, and they died spiritually that day. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, the serpent said unto him, thou shalt not surely die. But they did. Genesis, the 5th chapter, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And if you continue reading from Genesis on the next few chapters, it will list the genealogies one after another. And yes, they lived a long time, but the last part, the last thing that is said about everybody in the book of Genesis is, and he died, and he died, and he died. And so that's something we have to contend with. And you say, well, I'm young. It's not going to happen to me. I'm still real young. I'm not going to die. But yes, it can happen at any time. Hebrews 9:27 says this, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's an appointment we all will keep. Okay? It's an appointment. It's an event that we cannot avoid. Barring the return of Jesus Christ, everyone in this room in the next 100 years will be dead. You will die. It's a summons that we must attend. But after this, the judgment. And you say, well, that's not going to happen to me. Yes, it will. You say, well, I'm young. I got plenty of years. It can happen to you. I'm thinking, I didn't meet her, but I know there's a little plaque out at Victory Christian School, out in the very, very front of the school. There's a little plaque about this big. There was a young girl, 14 years of age, was out running track. And she dropped down. They tried to resuscitate her. She lived for about an hour and then died. 14 years old, she died. And I could go on telling you, 14 years old, 15 years old, 18 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old. It doesn't make any difference, folks. It's an appointment that you and I are going to meet someday. We're going to face death, and then the judgment comes. And the judgment for the saved, it's going to be before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll give an account of how we've lived for Him and how we've taken the things that He has given us and how we've used them. But for the unsaved, it's a great white throne judgment where they'll stand and He'll judge everything that they've done, but they won't be found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He'll pronounce them guilty, and they'll spend all eternity in the lake of fire. Judgment will come. But we need not fear it. You know, we sang some songs today about not fearing it. We don't need to fear it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm one of the great shepherd's sheep. And He has given to me eternal life. Back in John, when we read that, and I stopped, follow me, but He goes on, He says, I give unto them eternal life. How long is eternity? Forever. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. How long is never? Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I got in an argument one day, well, not an argument, but a theological dissertation about security of the believer, and he believed that you could be saved and lost. And I said, no, it can't be. And I took him to this passage of Scripture and says, what does it say? He gives to me eternal life, and I'm in His hand, and He's in the Father's hand. Nobody can pluck him out of His hand, and nobody can pluck him out of the Father's hand. And he says, well, you can lose your own salvation. I says, oh, you're greater than God? When it says no man can pluck him out, that means you. So I don't need to fear death. And if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't need to fear Him either. Because He's given you eternal life. And the judgment that we will see will not be the judgment that the unsaved sees. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. They will stand before the great white throne judgment. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff by the way, it says, thou art with me. It's kind of interesting. He starts off by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. And then it gets personal with the personal pronoun of thou art with me. I will fear no evil because thou art with me. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, praise God. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. My shepherd is with me always. I need not fear. I need not fear death, and I need not fear the things that man gives us. Thy rod, thy staff comfort me. It says, when passing through a shadowy ravine, the sheep know that the gentleness of the shepherd's crook and his crook is, you know, that's the thing that's got the little hook on it, okay? And then that's the staff. And he also has a little club, and that's to beat off the wolves and the fowl and anybody else that tries it. And the crook is to be able to kind of guide the little sheep and get him out of trouble if he has to. And he says, they comfort me. when they pass through that ravine and there's danger there, the sheep know that if he uses the rod or he uses the staff and kind of, you know, pats them a little bit, that it's to protect them and to guide them so they have nothing to fear. And that's our shepherd. Sometimes he uses the club to beat off the devil, and sometimes he uses the staff to kind of guide us a little bit, you know, get us into trouble, to pull us out of that trouble. Say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Number 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I need not fear in front of my enemies. Man is the greatest, you know, is our greatest fear, and I need not be afraid of him. Because the great shepherd, even in the midst of our enemies, can give us perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. He anoints my head with oil. The anointment of the oil that he gives was, the sheep sometimes would eat where they shouldn't eat, and sometimes they'd get scratched and stuff because they're getting briars, and the oil was there so that he could anoint them. It was kind of medicinal purpose, so that he could anoint them with oil and help them with the wounds. Okay? Sometimes we get away from the Lord, don't we? Sometimes we wander. Well, the oil's there to help us with the wounds. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That tells me that the blessings that God gives me are far abundant than anything that I deserve. Every once in a while I'll ask Brother Dan, I says, how are you doing today? And he says, and he always comes back with, more than I deserve. And how right you are, Brother Dan. The blessings that God gives us is far more than what we deserve, but yet he gives them to us. So our cup runs over. There's some that believe that that's an allusion to maybe the Holy Spirit. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the fact of the matter is my shepherd always blesses me far more than what I deserve. And a cup is always running over. The last verse says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I was a young Christian, I was just learning this. I thought that was two girls. But it didn't work out that way. You know, they told me, no, you're all wrong. That's not right. Surely goodness and mercy. Well, the word surely is the same word that's called verily. You know, Jesus would say verily, verily, or truly, truly. Listen, pay attention. He says goodness and mercy will not simply follow, but will pursue me. That's what the thought is there. That they're not just following, you know, tagging on like, you know, just tagging, but they're pursuing me. Now think about that for a moment. Goodness and mercy is pursuing us. Okay, they're after us. They want to be part of our lives. Okay? These graces actively seek us out when we walk with the great shepherd. Goodness and mercy is seeking us out. They're present with us in times of fasting, and they're with us in times of feasting. All the days of our life. Are you having a bad time? Are you going through a rough spot? Goodness and mercy is still there if you're looking to your shepherd. If you're looking to yourself, you're on your own. But if you're looking to your shepherd, goodness and mercy is following you. It's looking you out, trying to find you, trying to give you rest, trying to give you comfort, trying to give you peace. And the final thought was, it says, all the days of our lives, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like John 14:1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. As a child of God who walks in the path of the good shepherd, I'm always at home with my God. Think about that. Let me read that again. As a child of God who walks in the path of the good shepherd, I'm always at home with God. My shepherd has promised me he will never leave me nor forsake me. Whether through the green pastures, through the still waters, through the valley of death, or in the presence of mine enemies, I know he is always there. And that gives me comfort. 2 Timothy, we'll close with this. 2 Timothy 1:12. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The shepherd. The shepherd, the good shepherd is Jesus. You and I are the sheep. Are you part of his fold? Are you looking to him as the shepherd? Are you following in the path that he leads? Do you have the peace and the joy that he wants you to have? Let's pray.